Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. One of the great prophetic messages in the Bible is in Daniel chapter 2. The vision of the great human image is seen in the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Of all the wise men in his kingdom, only Daniel, the Israelite, could interpret the dream. This great human image, we are told, represents all of the kingdoms of the earth that would take place in the ages to follow. Any study of world history confirms both the accuracy of that interpretation and thereby the reliability of the Bible. This should unequivocally affirm our faith in God and even more in His Word. Ron Kangas is with us today for another look at this wonderful prophetic word from the Old Testament and also how it amplifies what we have in the New Testament book of Revelation concerning the events at the end of this age, when Antichrist will be revealed and when Christ, the great smiting stone, will come and crush him and all the kingdoms of the world to establish his own everlasting kingdom. Quite a story, isn't it, Ron?
Quite a story based upon a marvelous vision. Just to summarize what's in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. None of the so-called wise persons in Babylon could interpret it. Eventually, Daniel realized that Nebuchadnezzar was about to kill all these educated counselor-type persons, including Daniel and his friends. So Daniel, as always, with his companions, sought the Lord, knowing that the dream issued from God and the interpretation would issue from God. So the interpretation was given to him by divine revelation. Therefore, Daniel could be brought into Nebuchadnezzar's presence and fulfill the requirements of the king. First, tell him what the dream was about, describe the statue and its various parts, and then interpret it, the head and all the parts down to the 10 toes, partly of iron, partly of clay. And then what we have is a stone, not cut with human hands. So it must be a divine source, comes down from heaven and strikes the toes of this image, this idol. As a result, the whole thing crumbles and is blown away. The book of Revelation bears the particular characteristic that it is the culmination of so many strands or lines of revelation throughout the scriptures, especially in a book like Daniel. So the 70 weeks in Daniel, chapter 9, they appear in the ultimate form in Revelation. And the consummations of that idol with the 10 toes and the stone also is seen in Revelation. So what we have here is a vision from God recorded in the scriptures that enables us to understand the nature and direction of human history. Its stages leading up to the Roman Empire, the prophecies concerning a reconstitution in some way of the Roman Empire with 10 nations equaling 10 toes, and that becomes the final world situation presided over by Antichrist, leading to the ultimate battle at Armageddon, when the Lord now appears, fulfilling the prophecy of the stone, the smiting stone. He comes with his overcoming army. So it is marvelous to link together, as God himself did through John in Revelation, to link together crucial prophecies in Daniel with the culmination of these prophecies in Revelation. The effect on us is to give us a view of human history with its stages and final development that comes only from the all-knowing sovereign God.
Ron, I remember hearing this word as a young believer now more than 40 years ago, and it had a dramatic effect on me, strengthening my faith in God's word. We're going to hear that Witness Lee had a similar experience when he learned of this prophecy many, many decades before I did. It's a timeless matter, and I think we both pray that our listeners, and especially the young believers listening, would have such an experience for themselves in hearing it today.
When I was young, realizing the great image Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, I was fully convinced that the Holy Bible is really something divine. You just consider the great image, just the human body, the head, the breast with the two arms, the belly with the thighs, and then the two legs, and then the 10 toes. It's so simple, but it just fits in with all the worldly powers through all the centuries. Right. Who could use such an illustration? And we all have to believe, even within all over the world powers, there has been God's sovereignty. God sovereignly has prepared the world powers in this way. It is so interesting to get into this view, to illustrate all the world powers just by one human body. Isn't this wonderful? Who can write such a book? Who can invent such a kind of a illustration? It is stupid not to believe that the Bible is divine. It is not only holy, it is divine. God prepares this word. Even today, if we are going to understand it, to get into it, we surely need the divine wisdom. The more we are in the divine wisdom, the more we will get into it, and the more we get the nourishment.
Ron, I love this phrase that he used, the divine wisdom. If we're going to get into this and really understand it, we really need the divine wisdom. He said, if you study this prophecy in light of world history, it would be, and this is a quote, stupid not to believe that the Bible is divine. We open today by mentioning that the image in Daniel 2 portrays all the great kingdoms of the world. Before we finish today, we want to see more about the two key figures at the end of the age. Of course, they are Antichrist and the stone that comes and eventually crushes the image. But before we come to those, We really need to see the vision in Daniel 2 as the backdrop of all the events that are described in Revelation. Perhaps to set this up, let me read a couple of the key verses in Daniel 2 and then hand it to you to make clear just what Daniel saw and what none of Nebuchadnezzar's wise men were able to understand. In verse 31, it says, "You, O king, were watching, and there was a single great image. This image, large and its brightness surpassing, stood opposite you, and its appearance was frightening. Concerning this image, its head was of fine gold, and its breast and its arms of silver, its abdomen and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." Ron, what do these four parts of the image that we see in these three verses represent?
They represent four very significant stages of human government on earth. Daniel himself identifies the head of gold with Nebuchadnezzar. So clearly, that golden head is the Babylonian kingdom under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. We know also from the book of Daniel that the kingdom was transferred to the Medo-Persian Empire. So this is a second great world power, signified by the silver of the breast and of the arms. Then elsewhere in Daniel, we have prophecies concerning a ruler coming from the Macedonian area. And this ruler, Alexander the Great, brings in the third stage of this vast world empire. That's the bronze. It's a historical fact that after Alexander died in his early 30s, his kingdom was divided into various parts, among which there was warfare between the various rulers. But eventually, that empire was replaced by the Roman Empire. And what better figure signifies the Roman Empire than the iron? The iron, the iron legs. But then at the very bottom, we have the feet that are partly of iron and partly of clay, and the toes are the same. That part of the image refers to the end of this age, to a form of what was the Roman Empire re-emerging, but it's not altogether iron with undeniable authority. There's a mixture with clay, which might signify something related to democracy, kind of a mixed situation. That will be the final world situation regarding government. And those 10 toes represent 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire who will ultimately yield their authority to Antichrist. So here we have a picture, a remarkable vision of the development of human history from Babylon, the beginning, to the kingdom of Antichrist at the end. And as we will see, at the very end, Christ returns as the stone to strike the 10 toes, because that's the part that's actively opposing him. Then thereby to just annihilate the entire image, that is to replace human government throughout the earth, because as Daniel 2 prophesies, that stone cut without hands that smashed the image becomes a great mountain to fill the whole earth. That great mountain is the manifestation of the kingdom during the 1,000-year age of the millennium. This is the direction in which history is moving, even as we speak.
Ron, let's look at the prominent figure that Revelation tells us will be present during the last of this age, that period depicted by the feet and toes of clay and iron, the revitalized Roman Empire. How will Antichrist be revealed, and what role will he play at that time?
Okay, the person who will be revealed as Antichrist will first be known as an extraordinary political leader. And we know from history, ancient and recent, that at times of uncertainty, there's a cry among masses of people for a powerful leader, someone who has the skill, the boldness, the power to solve all their problems. So such a situation will emerge in Europe, and the people will be longing for such a leader. So this man will emerge as an extraordinary, articulate, charming, amazingly capable leader, able to do things to work out situations such as the rebuilding of the temple that no one else could do. But he will be assassinated, and he will be resuscitated as a kind of counterfeit of the resurrection of Christ. And when he's resuscitated, he will be revealed as Antichrist, filled with the spirit of Antichrist, one with Satan, utilizing the authority of Satan, conducting a horrible persecution, the Great Tribulation, demanding to be worshipped, rebelling against God, blaspheming God, killing those who will not worship him, and then finally leading his armies to fight directly against Christ and his armies. So first, as we study the current events, especially in Europe and in the Middle East, we need to watch for such a person gradually emerging, we believe, most likely, from Greece or Macedonia, that area. And humanly, he will have these characteristics. He will have this effect. He will broker a treaty with Israel. They will enter into a covenant with him. They will think that there is peace. He will preside over the rebuilding of the temple. But once he has been assassinated and resuscitated, everything changes. The tribulation begins. He demands worship. And this will be a horrible time for anyone living on the earth. This is the Antichrist. But we are not focusing our attention on the coming of Antichrist. We are watching with discernment over the world situation, but our heart is set on Christ himself, not on any other person.
Well, Ron, let's come back to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and talk about the stone that he sees. In verse 34, Daniel tells him, "You were watching until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the image at its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will raise up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and its reign will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever." This stone that crushes the image, no doubt, must be Christ, with his overcomers, defeating Satan, Antichrist, all of God's enemies at the end of the age. And Ron, it's really another view of Christ that the Bible gives us, a view of him that we don't often hear much about. Yet this is an aspect of Christ that'll be very, very meaningful to all of us. Even the whole earth will be affected by this stone, won't it?
This aspect of Christ is wonderfully revealed throughout the Scriptures. Positively, we may say, Christ is the stone for God's building. He's the foundation stone, the cornerstone, the top stone. He's the living stone who is reproducing himself in us to make us living stones for God's building. That's 1 Peter 2. But there is a negative side of him being the stone, and he speaks of this in Matthew. He said, for some, he will be a stone of stumbling, that especially the Jewish religionists were stumbled by him. They fell on the stone and were broken. For others, this stone will be a smashing stone that will strike them. This is Christ himself with all of his authority in resurrection. He said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He as the Son of Man has been given by God to execute judgment on the living and the dead. We know that human government was established after the flood to enable some kind of situation on the earth, short of chaos and unrestrained violence, that allows God to carry out his purpose in history. But human government rebels against God and exalts the self and worships idols. So human government is a serious problem that is versus the manifestation of the kingdom. So we know from Revelation, in which prophecies in Daniel are fulfilled, human government personified and summarized by Antichrist will be warring directly against Christ himself, the one to whom it has been given the right to inherit the whole earth as his kingdom. So he will appear as this stone, but he will not come alone. His overcoming army will actually be one with him to make this stone a corporate smashing stone to destroy Antichrist and his armies. Then by striding the toes of the image to remove human government from the earth, then the stone, as we previously pointed out, becomes a great mountain filling the whole earth. This ushers in the kingdom of 1,000 years, where Christ as the king is reigning in Jerusalem, the overcomers as his co-kings are reigning throughout the earth. War is over. The climate is changing. The deserts are blossoming. It's still in the old creation, but there is no human government anymore. Instead, it is the age of righteousness under the righteous government of God and his Son. The coming of the smiting stone with its smashing power to deal with Antichrist, his armies, and human government that has rebelled against God. This will bring about the greatest dispensational change this earth has ever seen. We need to know Christ in this way. Follow Peter's word in 1 Peter chapter 2. Come to him as the living stone. And you also, he says, as living stones, are built up together in a spiritual house. We need to be constituted with this Christ as the stone, on the one hand for God's building, on the other hand to be one with him, to be constituted with him, to be that corporate smiting stone to turn this age and bring in the kingdom, the mountain filling the entire earth.
Well, Ron, a lot of things were presented today, things that need careful consideration, much prayer. And as was mentioned earlier, the real need is for divine wisdom if we're going to really understand them. I'd like to hear your final thoughts today, Ron.
Divine wisdom is versus human cleverness and human opinion. In the divine revelation, there's no room for our opinion. The Word of God does not need our natural intelligence. When Paul was writing 1 Corinthians 2, he referred to what had been revealed to them. And then he said, "We speak these things, not in the words of human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit." In that same epistle in chapter 1, verse 30, he said, "Christ has been made wisdom to us from God." Christ is the wisdom of God. It's a big mistake to study the Word generally and to analyze prophecies specifically, just relying on our natural mentality. We need to be like Daniel. We need wisdom from God. We need divine wisdom. And the Lord is prepared to be the wisdom we need if we set aside our cleverness, deny ourselves with its opinions, and let Christ be the divine wisdom to us, so that we, in the body of Christ, may have the correct understanding of the sure word of prophecy and cling to it until the day dawns and the morning star arises in our hearts.
Ron, as always, I appreciate your portion so much on these programs. We welcome also those listening, your thoughts and questions and comments. Call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or simply send an email to us, radio@lsm.org. That's all the time we have today. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs consist of excerpts from Witness Lee's spoken ministry, along with our discussion and comments, and all focusing on God's heart's desire that we would enjoy Christ as the divine life for man. These life study messages show us that every book of the Bible reveal that enjoying Him in this way will bring us to the goal of our salvation. There are more than 1,700 programs like this one available online free of charge that you can download, stream live, or add to your podcast subscription. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. That's lsmradio.com. You can also reach us by email, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.